It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've been studying in the book of John. We're in chapter 7. And we left off last time with verse 18. It says there, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." As long as we're doing what God wants us to do, and we're speaking of him, we're representing him as saved people, representing him as the Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ, and representing God the Father as God, and also the Holy Spirit, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're one God. Now, I don't understand everything. I don't understand how that can be. With my mind, as I'm a human being, I do not understand everything, but I do believe the Bible. I believe by faith that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. They're all God, but they're one. I can't understand everything, but I do know that that is the truth, because as we study, we see the Trinity all throughout the Scriptures. But the Bible says there in verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." We're not to speak of ourselves when we go out and give the gospel. Testimony is important. Our testimony is something that we need to be proud of. And we've come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have a testimony. I have a testimony as to how I came to a saving knowledge. But you see, my testimony is not going to save anyone. My testimony is makes me feel good knowing of what's taken place in my life, that Jesus Christ has saved me. But what I need to do is give the testimony of Jesus Christ. I need not to speak of myself, but I need to speak of the Lord. Now, sometimes someone will ask us about how we got saved, and there's nothing wrong with telling them that, but don't get sidetracked. Don't forget that Jesus Christ is the one who saves. It's through the Word of God that people understand that they're lost. They need a Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, when a person realizes that, and we've told them about that from the Scriptures, they start realizing that there's something missing in their life and they need Jesus Christ as Savior. So our testimony is important, but our testimony is not going to save anyone. Do not dwell on your testimony when you're witnessing for the Lord. Dwell on Jesus Christ. Give the plan of salvation. Verse 18, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Well, now Jesus Christ, of course, is speaking of himself here. He's saying that God the Father sent him, and that the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Why? Because he has trusted what God the Father has said. He's here to do his will. He's to bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. And so are we. We're to let other people know about the glory of God. Verse 19 of John 7. "Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me?" Well, he's trying to make a distinction here, that these people thought that they were so religious that they could keep the Ten Commandments, but of course they couldn't. Nobody has ever kept the Ten Commandments except one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we break one of the commandments, we're guilty of breaking them all. It's the same as breaking all of them. If a man steals, then if he's kept all, let's say, nine of the commandments, which no man can do, he's kept nine of the commandments, and that last commandment, we'll say the commandment that he breaks is that he steals. Well, he's broken all of them according to the Word of God. He's guilty of all of them. Yeah, we study and we understand that the Ten Commandments were given to us as a schoolmaster to bring us to a knowledge of knowing that we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus said here, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law?" He's saying, you're not righteous. You're lost, and you need something. "Why go ye about to kill me?" He says, "Why are you trying to kill me for? And I'm innocent. I haven't done anything wrong." Verse 20 says, "The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" In other words, they're denying the fact now that they wanted to kill him. They are lying. Once again, they've broken the law. Verse 21, "Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel." Well, Jesus had performed several miracles at this point, turned the water into wine. He fed the 5,000 and several other things. And these people, he said, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel." Once again, people marveled at the fact that Jesus was able to do certain things, but they were not willing to accept the fact that he was God. Verse 22, "Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man." Well, Jesus once again is pointing to men here. He's saying, "Moses therefore gave you circumcision, gave unto you circumcision." As we think of this, this came, of course, from God. This was something that the Jewish people did, the Israelites did with the circumcision. And Moses' wife even called him a bloody man because he did this. As we think of what Jesus is saying here, these people were not actually following everything that God told them to do. And they were not accepting the fact of what God wanted them to do. They looked to Moses in many instances as Israelites. They worshiped him. And you know, I often think of the fact that no one knew where Moses was buried. God buried him, the Bible tells us, but no one knew where he was buried. And I believe had people known where he was at, where his body was at, they would have actually worshiped his body. But that wasn't the case. God hid, if you would, hid the body of Moses so that Moses could not be worshipped. But yet, although his body was not worshipped, his name, his memory was worshipped. And Jesus had to keep reminding these people that Moses was not God. God is the one who supplied the bread in the wilderness. God is the one who supplied the water as you walk through the wilderness. And we read about that in the scriptures. God is the one who is able to save you. And I am the one who has come to give you eternal life. I am the bread of life. Jesus kept telling these people over and over again. Verse 23 says, "If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" Now remember, some of these people were witness to the fact that Jesus had healed a man who was infirmed for 38 years. You go back and read in the book, and we've studied this, how that this man had waited at the pool, and he was trying to get down there because we were told and we understand that it was said that an angel would come down and trouble the waters. Whether this was true or not, I don't know. But as the angel would come down, no man was there to help this infirm person get into the pool to be healed as such. Well, there was one there who could heal him, and Jesus was that person. Jesus actually healed this man of his infirmity. Well, they knew, evidently these people had seen this happen that we're reading about here. They had seen this, and this man was healed on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is reminding them here that they actually wanted to kill him for healing a person on the seventh day, yet they could go about doing circumcisions and nothing was done about that. They were all right, and they did not see anything wrong with the circumcising of a person on the Sabbath day, but yet Jesus had healed this man who had been infirm for 38 years. He healed him, and they wanted to kill him for it. Let's read 23 again of John 7. "If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" He's shaming these people now. He's letting them know that they're wrong. Verse 24, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." He's saying you need to listen to God. You need to use a little bit of spiritual sense here and realize that I did nothing wrong, that this man needed healed, and I healed him on the Sabbath day. Verse 25, Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? Well, they evidently realized that he was the one whom they were wanting to kill because he had made himself equal with God by saying God was his father and that he is God. Well, they said, Isn't this the one that people are looking for to kill, the Jews? Verse 26, But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Now, they're questioning now the religious leaders. Do they know that he's the Christ? People look many times to a person for information. They look to a person for salvation. Well, of course, we are people who are saved and we need to give out information. But remember, it's God who does the work. We are simply vessels who take the word of God to individuals. And so many people today look to certain individuals as experts on certain things, especially when it comes to heaven. And you have so many teachings that there's more than one way to heaven, that you go your way and I'll go mine way and we'll all end up at the same place. Well, that's not true. The Bible teaches us that there's one way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. There's no other way. And we need to stand up for that as saved people today. And we should not listen to all of the things that man says, but listen to what God says. Now, verse 27 says, Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. We can see this man, they're saying. Nah, he's not the Christ. We'll know when Christ comes, they said. Well, had they been in the Old Testament scriptures, they would have known this was Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah. Verse 28, Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Well, he's telling them just exactly the way it is. He said, You know who I am. If you read the scriptures of what he's saying, you should know who I am. But notice, he says, But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. He's saying, you're not children of God. So many people today have the attitude that they are the children of God simply because they've been born into this world. But the Bible teaches that we do not become the sons of God or the children of God until we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, until we do what God wants us to do. And God wants us to know Jesus. He wants us to be on our way to heaven. And as saved people, he wants us to be able to give out the Word of God to help other individuals know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you're saved, I wonder if you're witnessing for him. Are you taking the gospel to this world? Are you taking the gospel to people? Jesus, he went to people that were ready to kill him. Well, God doesn't force us to go, or he doesn't tell us to go to where people want to kill us. He wants us to give the word out no matter where we're at. And so therefore, we need to be working for him. Jesus came into a world that hated him, but yet he was willing to die on the cross. He was willing to die for the people who hated him. But he's alive today because he wants to save you if you've never trusted him. And as a saved person, tell others about Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.